You got your Bibles, open up to John 10. It's part 3 on God is good. Jesus is saying, yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, Jesus is still speaking to some of the Pharisees that had asked in chapter 9, are you saying that we are blind? Now, if you understand the story, we can go back to chapter 9, verses 1. It says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. Now, we're talking about God. He's a good God. Now, if this was God's purpose for somebody to be born blind, he would have left them blind. But as we read more into the context of the scripture, Jesus ended up healing this man. Spat on the ground, made some mud, put it on his eyes, told him to go wash. This happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. You see somebody, well, it wasn't based upon their sins. And that's the first thing sometimes we go through. They must have sinned because this is what they're experiencing. It doesn't necessarily have to be sin. We live in a fallen world. But they were that way so that the works of God might be revealed in him. Even the Passion Translation says this. Neither it happened to him so that you could watch him experience God's wisdom. Neither. It happened to him so that you can watch him experience God's miracle. Sometimes God wants us to watch the miracle that's being displayed in other people's lives. It's not because he's put him that way. He's a good God. We wouldn't do that to our own children. He's a good father. See, the Pharisees was not convinced that this was the man that was born blind. They even brought their parents in to ask if this is your son. And they said it multiple times, yes, this is our son. He was born blind. We know that, but we don't know how he was healed. See, when God does great miracles in other people's lives, it's important not to harden our hearts towards what he has done. So we pick up in verse 35, it says, when Jesus heard what had happened. Now, they ended up basically just sending this man out. They put him out of the synagogue because he began preaching to him. He started preaching. What, you want to be a follower of his too? They got offended. They put him out of the synagogue. Jesus hears about it. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. You have seen him, Jesus said, and he is speaking to you. Yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. Then Jesus told him, now he's talking to this man, and he tells him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind. Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, are you saying we're blind? Well, yeah. They were standing nearby. Jesus was talking about them because some of the other ones had put them out. But he was speaking to this man. See, Pharisees will always be trying to listen and watch what you do and in every which way. It says, Jesus is talking to this man who had just placed his faith in him. Jesus did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save it. He didn't come to destroy men's lives, but just the light that he brought into this world resulted in those who would follow him and those who would reject him. To those who were given the ability to see spiritually and those who were spiritually blinded, they see what was going on, but they still harden their hearts and minds towards God. this is the judgment that brings, that people end up bringing on themselves when they see that it's truly an act of God and then they harden their hearts towards it. They see it. They know what's going on. Yes, I know that God does miracles, but we believe that stuff passed away with the apostles. You see it, but you're still blinded to it. They will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. They were standing nearby, heard Jesus, and asked, "Are you saying that we are blind?" See, I had a good man once tell me this, a pastor in this community. He goes, "When you respond to certain things, that means you located yourself." So people could be saying certain things and not even be about you, and then we end up responding to what they were saying. "Oh, no, I didn't do it." Wait, you just located yourself because nobody knew that. You know, it's like, so it's always good to be quiet because, you know, even when we could post stuff online, people may be thinking, "You ever read it?" And they, "I think they're talking about me." They may not even be talking about you. We're all going through the same stuff. They might not even be talking about you, but as soon as you respond to it, you basically just located yourself. I said, so, he says, so it doesn't matter what people say about you. It doesn't matter if people are with certain groups or if they're there. When you respond based upon what they say, you locate yourself. And the Pharisees just located themselves when they asked Jesus, "Are you saying that we are blind?" They were responsible for the revelation of God's word that was given to them. But instead of doing what was right, the way Jesus had done it, they were oppressing the people. See, religion will oppress you, it'll keep you in bondage. This is what they were doing, even though they saw, they understood the laws of Moses, but they didn't understand Jesus. They read the scriptures, they knew the scriptures, but yet the Savior, the Messiah, was standing right in front of them, and they still couldn't identify him. Their hearts were hardened, spiritually bonded. See, you are responsible for the light that God has given you. And what you do with it is important. You have to put it into practice on what you have been shown. Pharisees thought they were the only ones that can see, but upon further examination, Jesus showed them they were blinded to the things of God. So go back to John 10. He says, "Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." See, there's no other way to the Father. He is the gate. There's no other way. No matter how much you can, you cannot be airdropped from a helicopter into those pastures. You can't climb that fence. You can't burrow your way underneath. There's only one way in, and that's through the Father. Every religion out there, there's only one way to God. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. That's believing in him, confessing it with your mouth and believing in your heart. There's only one way. So time is winding up. If you haven't made Jesus your Lord and Savior, do it today. Believe in the name of Jesus, and you can't enter without believing in Jesus. You cannot enter that pasture. The thief isn't Satan. The thief is the false teachers and the unsaved shepherds that try to steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. Because we've said it, of course. I said, now they're being influenced by Satan. But what, and keep it in context of the scripture, he's talking about all who came before me were thieves and robbers. So he's talking about people who try to kill and steal. Steal what? The word of God sown in your heart. God gives you a revelation word. They want to take it away from you. They want to try to wash it out. They don't want it to come to pass. They don't want it to come to fruition in your life because they know what it will do. So what do they try to do? Steal away the word. Send somebody else to sow something different in you, contrary to what you have received from God. They try to steal it. That's their purpose. They are influenced by the devil. Thieves and robbers will help convert men into being just like them and even worse. In Matthew 23, 13 through 15, it says, "Great sorrow awaits you." This is Jesus rebuking the religious leaders. Remember, all scripture is used for rebuking. teaching, correcting, and training up in righteousness. He says, great sorrow awaits you religious scholars and you Pharisees, such frauds and pretenders. You do all you can to keep people from experiencing the reality of heaven's kingdom realm. Not only do you refuse to enter in, you also forbid anyone else from entering in. Great sorrow awaits you religious scholars and you Pharisees, frauds and pretenders, for you eat up the widow's household with the ladle of your prayers. Because of this, you will receive greater judgment. Great sorrow awaits you religious scholars and you Pharisees, such frauds and pretenders, for you will travel over land and sea to find one disciple only to make him twice the child of hell as yourselves, you blind guides. Jesus says, my purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. He wanted man to have this eternal life by knowing the Father. Thieves and robbers will try to keep you from knowing the Father. They try to rob you of it. Now we know that Jesus came to undo all the works of Satan, not God, Satan. If God was really the one that was doing all this stuff, then Jesus is just fighting against Satan. Fighting against God. And that kingdom is divided. In 1 John 3:8, this is the Passion Translation, it says, but the one who indulges in a sinful life is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. In order for you to have that abundant life, Jesus had to come to undo all the works of the devil. In order for you to have green pastures and to be able freely to roam through, there's no weeds in those pastures. So if there's ended up being weeds in there, you get to pluck it out. Why? Because he wants you nibbling on the stuff, eating on the stuff that's good for you. Jesus came that we may have rich and a satisfying life, and part of that was to undo what was done to humanity. Satan was oppressing people, not Jesus, not God. Satan. Jesus took that oppression away. Satan was binding people up and destroying their lives. You have people today that will blame God for all their troubles. I don't get it. They will blame, literally, get online, put up a podcast, have thousands of likes, tens of thousands of likes on there, and they're blaming God for it. They've been on the wrong stuff. They've been eating on some weeds. God is not the source of all of our problems. And sometimes we can be a little hard-headed. Years ago, my dad would get up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. He would drive about 2 hours to go to work. He framed houses all through Southern California. So he's got to beat that traffic. He would get home around 5. My mom would leave work for around 3 o'clock. So sometimes when they would see each other, it was passing by. And so she would go to work from 3 to about 12, 2 o'clock in the morning, however long. So when we get home, we got our chores that we're supposed to do. Chores and do our homework. So we had some friends that wanted us to go play some football out in the field. And, you know, in the elementary school, they got yards of grass out there. And we had some of the acres out there that had gopher holes. And, you know, just being children, you know, I could throw a few firecrackers in there just to see what would happen. Who's just testing the integrity of the holes that they built, you know, so making sure that they were good. But we were playing football, and my brother's foot gets caught in a gopher hole. Broke it. Wow. So we're at home icing it and stuff, hoping that the swelling would go down. We didn't know it was broke. It's just a sprain. So we weren't really thinking about the ankle. We were thinking about we wasn't supposed to be there. We were supposed to be doing our chores. We were supposed to be doing our homework. Now, if we would have been obedient to what our pops had told us, that never would have happened. We can't sit here, well, maybe God did this. No, we were disobedient to what was spoken to us, what was said to us. We can't blame God for that. And there's people that will blame. Well, maybe God is trying to teach you something. Yeah, listen. If that's the case. Well, needless to say, it was broke. First day of school, he's on crutches. Learn the lesson from that. Thing is, listen to Pops. If we would have been doing those things, that never would have happened. God didn't do that. We didn't resist the temptation that others have put before us. Man, we got this football game going. There were some people who was talking, we got you on our team. It's going to be good. We didn't resist it. We was like, all right, bet. We're going to do this later on. Because we can hear our pop's truck coming down the street, man. It's loud. It's loud. It's loud. He had a 600-pound compressor on the back, so it was loud. God didn't tempt us to do that. He didn't tempt us to be evil. He didn't tempt us to be disobedient to what was spoken to us. And James 1 says this, 1:13, when you are tempted, don't ever say, God is tempting me. For God is incapable of being tempted by evil, and he is never the source of temptation. Instead, it is each person's own desires and thoughts that drag them into evil and lure them away into darkness. Evil desires give birth to evil actions. And when sin is fully mature, it can murder you. So, my friends, don't be fooled by your own desires. Every gift God freely gives us is good and perfect because he's a good God. Streaming down from the Father of lights, who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow or darkness and is never subject to change. God is not like shifting shadows, in some versions would say. There's no darkness in him. There's no shadow in him. He's good all the time. Even when you read about it in the old covenant and everything that was going on, his wrath was a good, righteous anger. It was a wrath that because of the sin that was going on in life, it was needed. The flood, it was needed because of the things that were going on. If you ever listen to Rick Renner, I was watching this yesterday and he was talking about the giants in the lands. My gosh, some big old dudes. Get on YouTube and watch it. It's really good. But there were a lot. And I'm talking about huge. They survived a flood. It's crazy. But God had to do away with all this stuff in order for his son to come and do what he was called to do. Every gift God freely gives us is good and perfect. God will test us, improves us, but he does not tempt us. Those desires come from within. A person is drawn away by his own evil. The enemy also knows this as well. See, when you're trying to eat right, and you're laying in bed and you hear that pie calling your name, come and get me, come and get me, just one little bit sliver, that'll be good. See, that's not God doing that to you. Number one, you should have threw the pie away or something, but that's the enemy and that's your own desires. That's your flesh doing that. God made me eat that pie last night, that halftime pie, I had to eat it. That wasn't God. Those are your own thoughts, your own desires that is dragging you away. Believers should never blame God for the horrible things that may go on in their life. You know, 45 years ago, there was this 3-year-old kid that was in the southern parts of the States. And his mom was doing some laundry at a laundromat. She needed more detergent. This little kid, and so the convenience store is across the street. So she decides to walk across the street and go get some more detergent. Well, her son was there outside playing with another little kid. They were playing tag and stuff like that. He saw his mom walk across the street and was like, Mom, bring me something to drink. And she turns around. What ends up happening is, car hit him, knocked him out of his shoes, flying out. His dad, sitting in a truck with his younger brother and his son, watched the whole thing. And as this leaves him there, he goes and picks him up, and people were saying, don't touch him. No, because he was a man of God, listening to the Holy Spirit, picks him up and begins to pray over him. Blood coughing out, spitting out, lays him back down. Thank God for prayer. Ambulance comes, picks him up on the gurney, what have you, puts him in the ambulance. Mom is riding with this young boy, praying over him. Not one time did it ever come out of their mouths, God, why did you do this? Why did you allow this to happen? Why is this happening to my baby? They didn't do that. They prayed. They prayed over him. But you know it's important to know the word of God. The young boy ended up suffering 3 broken legs, 3 broken ribs, nearly bit his tongue off. Oh, three, broke his leg in 3 places. No, he didn't have 3 legs. He wasn't a hybrid or something. My goodness. Broke his leg in 3 places. Doctors told him he would never walk again. Now some people, well, God wanted some glory out of that. God did get some glory. The young man is still alive. And the young man is standing right before you. Why? Because I'm preaching his word. That wasn't God that pushed me out in the streets. I ran out because I wanted a Pepsi. I got my Pepsi afterwards. But that wasn't God. And not one time did my parents ever say, God, why did you do this? I've heard testimonies of people doing that. Your first response should be, not today, Satan. It should be the word of God speaking over your life, not crying out to God, why? Even though that is a cry of desperation, I understand that. But when you speak his word, if you don't even know it, but you have a prayer language, you don't even know what you're supposed to say because your mind might be all sorts, begin to pray in the spirit over that situation until you believe that there's something released right there. Okay, it's done. Because you can pray in the spirit for a long time. And it's not repetitive. God didn't allow that to happen because he's a good father. It was for this purpose that the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of Satan. Jesus says, I've come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. So if what you're experiencing right now is not an abundant life, and it's been nothing but destruction in your life, understand that's not from God. That's not from him. And you don't have to put up with it. If the thief is stealing your mindset, your thoughts, and I mean just thoughts just coming through your head, that's not from him. That's not from God. You don't have to sit with it. You don't have to live with it any longer. It stops today. Doesn't have to. Why? That's not part of the abundant life. Doesn't matter what is going on in your life. No matter what kind of disease that they may bring up, doesn't matter. That's all covered by the blood. All of it. He did away with both of them. You know, when Lazarus was sick, Jesus stayed, and they told him that Lazarus was sick. So they thought immediately he was just going to get up and go. No, he stayed 2 more days, and Lazarus ended up dying. But Jesus said that this sickness wasn't going to end in death. So when he went there, and Lazarus 3-4 days already in the tomb. He raised him up to life. Why? Because that's not the purpose of God. That sickness was not going to end in death. And we, I believe, have settled for less when Jesus says, anything that you ask in my name, it shall be given to you by my Father in heaven. We have it better now than they ever did walking with Jesus. Blessed who are those who believe but do not. Come on now. You're more blessed than those who were actually walking with Jesus. Because I think that would have just jacked us up. Some man, you know. That would mess with us. Who's this walking on the water? My gosh. You raising somebody up from the dead? Really? That would have messed us up a little bit. Even to the point to where after he was resurrected, he appeared to 500 people, and then there was only 120 that stayed. So 380 didn't really go with it. You have it better. The abundant life that God came to give you, that Jesus came to give you, you should be experiencing that every day of your life. And if you don't, get it straightened out. Because this is the last day. All that stealing, killing, and destroying that the enemy may be doing in your life doesn't have to happen anymore if you don't want it to. Quit saying, what is God teaching me in this? Says it doesn't have a right to be in my life. That's the authority that you take. That's the side you take. It doesn't have authority in my life. No more. He's a good father. Good father. We can't blame him for stuff when we mess up. When we twist our ankle in a gopher hole, we can't blame him for that. When we run a red light because we're trying to get to a place and we get a ticket and then now we're trying to yell our way out of a ticket. That wasn't, God, what are you doing? Slow down. That's what you're teaching. We don't want to spend time with him in the morning. And he's waking us up on the dot. Same time every morning. You didn't have to go through that. All that stuff you didn't have to go through. But you went through it because you chose not to do this. Here. He's a good father. So no more doom and gloom. You watching TV, you watching the news, speak the word over it, over that situation, because you have that authority here on earth. Excuse me. They only want to give $750 to some of the survivors. Which is a bunch of mess.
Yeah.
Speak against it. Lord, raise somebody up to send money to those victims and their families. See, if we're constantly, I know people don't like this word, but our government's so narcissistic, it's unreal. Because you have to create a problem in order to be the hero.
Right.
And there's always a war on something. Because they're looking to be the hero. He's the hero. And he's delegated that to the church. So instead of looking for the government, the church needs to rise up. That's a mess. $750. And they're getting billions to other countries. That's crazy. You got to take care of your own first. And if you constantly are sending people billions of dollars, that's not what they need. Because you're trying to put a dependency upon America. Show them how to do it. Hallelujah. You are the church. You are the body of Christ. As God is good, He's required us to be good. So let our good works be shown, be looked at by men and women in this nation. Let our good works be shown out there. Go raise the dead. Will you do it first, Pastor Tim? I'm trying. Somebody die real quick. The Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy the works of Satan. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. We thank you, Lord, that you are a good, good God. You are a good King, Jesus. And we love you. You can bring that up. We love you, Lord. Father, give us the wisdom and understanding to be able to use your word in certain situations that's going on in this nation. You have the answer. You are the answer. We just pray for all those who has been affected by the tragedies in this nation. These floods, this hurricane, and we lift them up, Lord, to you. Raise up more warriors that will go out and preach your word boldly so that those, if they do end up passing away, they're going to be with you. Lord, we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.